From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made the last week of May when the mayor of Honey I Falls announced he was running for New York State Assembly. Typically, this wouldn't be a big deal. Elected leaders run for higher office all the time. But in this case, the candidate, Mayor Rick Milne, is a Republican who had decided to challenge an incumbent in his own party. That incumbent, Assemblyman Bill Nojay, had the support and endorsement of the Republican Party. Milne declined to attack Nojay's record, but said he felt he could present his own record and do a more effective job representing all the voters of the district. By now, you know what happened on Friday. Assemblyman Bill Nojay died by suicide. The Rochester Police Department reporting that they received a call for a mental health check, and when they arrived at the cemetery, an officer saw Assemblyman Nojay shoot himself. Rick Milne suspended his campaign and said on Friday he was devastated by the news. But there is still a primary to be held tomorrow, and it might surprise you to learn that this is not a done deal by any means. In fact, some party leaders are calling for voters to cast their ballot for the late Bill Nojay tomorrow in a kind of show of appreciation for his record, but then also to give them the power to anoint whoever their candidate for Republicans will be in November. And if Nojay gets more votes than Rick Milne, even posthumously, there is no guarantee Rick Milne will be the party's candidate in November. It is sort of this odd scenario none of us had ever really considered, but here we are. And so as delicate as this is, Rick Milne has to convince voters to cast their ballots for him tomorrow, not Bill Nojay. I know it's not an easy conversation to have, but Mayor Milne has always been an accessible public figure. He has agreed to sit down with me today, and we're going to talk about that this hour. Rick, I am sorry. I mean, I know he was your opponent, but you were not necessarily attacking him, and you were running. I know you knew him, and I am sorry that these are the circumstances we're talking about today.
Well, Evan, thank you. You know, I want to thank you for having me on the show today. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a beautiful day outside, so we should be doing this outside.
Yeah.
But that being said, yes, this is it's been a very trying few days. And as you have already alluded to, I was running against Assemblyman Nojay, and I had reasons for doing that, and mainly my reasons. After serving as mayor in the village of Honeyway Falls for 12 years, serving on committees such as the 911 Operating Practices Board here in Monroe County, serving as president for the Monroe County Association of Villages twice, and then getting very involved with the New York State Conference of Mayors organization, of which I served as president last year and was extremely honored to do so, I felt that what I had done and the path that I took to try to run for assembly, which is something I've wanted to do, was the right path for me to take. And people ask me, well, why were you running? Well, quite honestly, I had quite a few people, elected officials, residents, friends, people throughout the district that I had run into over the last couple of years, feel that they needed representation that would be more actively engaged, that they would see in their communities more often. And that has been really the foundation of my campaign. It's been about me wanting to do the job, wanting to not only be in Albany and serve all of the 133rd Assembly District, but to then come back to our district and be very visible and very engaged with the elected officials, with the residents, with the service organizations, and give them a representative that they felt very strong about as far as giving them solid representation.
All right, we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go forward. I do want to go back to Friday and just ask you, how did you find out on Friday that Mr. Nojay was gone?
I received a phone call from someone in the media asking me if I had heard. And I had just finished an interview on another radio station from 10 to 10:30 that day. And I was preparing for yet another interview with another station. And I got the call asking me if I had heard. So I suspended that particular interview and then, you know, made some calls to find out if it were indeed true.
What goes through your mind in that kind of situation?
Well, everything. You know, what do I do now? How do I handle this? This isn't something that people are confronted with on a regular basis in this situation. And first and foremost, I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to be respectful. I reached out almost immediately to the Monroe County chairperson, just
Mr. Ralick,
mm-hmm. and just to say, hey, I don't want to do anything that upstages or does anything negative. I want to do nothing but act respectful. So, you know, let me know what you would like me to do. And there wasn't direction per se. I just didn't want to do interviews and elaborate more on the situation. So we just put out a very simple notice and then sent out a second notice just saying we were going to suspend all political activity until further notice.
Okay. And you've resumed today. And again, there's a primary tomorrow. And as Bill Ryluck has said, you can't change the fact there's an election that has to be held. It will go on as planned tomorrow. Many voters might have assumed this means you get the nomination. You'll be the Republican nominee. I know you've never been in this position of having an opponent die so close to an election day. Did you know what the process would have been before? I can't imagine you would have. I didn't know before Friday, right?
No, I honestly did not know. And it isn't something that would cross your mind. You know, you wonder, okay, what happens if somebody steps out of a race for whatever reason?
Sure.
But certainly not this type of a situation. So I had never given it any thought. And as I've said in the past, you know, this isn't like I have a large party backing me. This is a real grassroots campaign.
Yeah.
And I'm my own campaign manager for all intents and purposes. So I've had to learn on the fly with this type of thing.
When you found out the rules, and let's actually... First of all, let me just back up and say I give Megan McDermott did a great job in the Democrat and Chronicle sort of laying it out this weekend as best she could find it, because this is new for everybody, I think. When you found out the rules, your understanding is what, Rick? Your understanding is you've got to win tomorrow, you've got to get the most votes, and then you will be on the ballot in November. And a lot of people might assume, well, of course you will. I mean, your opponent is sadly gone. But now you have some, from what I've seen, at least county chairs, you have some prominent media figure saying, vote for Bill Nogé as a sign of respect for his legacy and his record. Vote for him and let's see if he can get the most votes. But if Bill Nogé gets the most votes tomorrow, which is possible, you are not at all guaranteed to be on the ballot in November, and you might not be, right?
That's absolutely correct. You know, there were no guarantees going into this. My wife and I had a very long, heartfelt discussion of do I take this step now in my political career, if you will. And we made the decision and together that we thought this was the right thing. And again, after the urging of many people, so we've taken that path forward. Now we're faced with a totally different situation. Everything you've said, to the best of my knowledge, is correct.
Right.
I need to get people out to vote for my campaign. And we felt going through this process over the last 5 months, we felt very good about our message and very, very good about the response. The response in every community, and I've tried to go to every community, the doors that I've knocked on, the people that I've talked to, the response has been very, very good. I have to hope that those people will understand and know what's going on and will get out and vote. And I also need to work hard, and I've been trying to do that. I have to work hard to make sure those that didn't support me understand that I am going to work very hard for them. I'm going to fight for our Second Amendment rights, and I'm going to fight for our EMS and fire department EMS services and our law enforcement. I'm going to be a strong voice in Albany and across the state for Western New York State and upstate New York. But I need to be given that opportunity. And I think I feel strongly that my 12 years as mayor and my really the last 4 or 5 years of work with the New York State Conference of Mayors puts me in a very good position to do that.
If Mr. Nogé gets more votes than you tomorrow, and posthumously wins this primary, the understanding is that who chooses, who's going to be deciding who's on the ballot in November?
Again, as I understand it, it would be the Republican Party chairs from Monroe County, Steuben County and Livingston County that would get together and make that decision.
I think some voters may not vote tomorrow because they'll think, well, big deal. Of course, they're going to choose you. You decided to run in a primary.
One would hope that after everything I've put into this campaign and the positive, clean campaign that I've run, and quite honestly, the personal expense and time that I've put into this, I would hope that I would be. I mean, I've been a good Republican person, if you will, a party person over the years. But I think it's also important to understand that I have not been entrenched in the Republican Party. In Honeoye Falls as mayor, our elections are run nonpartisan. So we don't run as Democrats, Republicans. We run as individuals. We come up with a party name and we work together. And that's what I've tried to use as part of my platform as well, that, you know, yes, I'm a Republican. Yes, I have, in my opinion, some tendencies that may tend to be a little bit more conservative. I'm certainly not as ultra-conservative as others, and I can't be that person that that some people want me to be. But I'm certainly not liberal, and I'm certainly not as liberal as certain liberals would want me to be. So I'm trying my best to work for everybody in this and hope that I get that opportunity.
I know you're not making this allegation. We're just sort of observing the process. But from where I sit, I wouldn't be surprised, Rick, to see three party chairs have a chance, or three county chairs have a chance to get together if Bill Nojay gets more votes than you tomorrow and say, hey, we get to get together in a room, three people and three men in a room, so to speak, and decide who the nominee is going to be. And based on voter registration, the nominee is the likely winner in November. It's not guaranteed. And we'll reach out to the Democrat running in this race. And certainly, I know you'd want to have a respectful dialogue. And if you're the nominee, maybe you'll come back on this program with her and do that. But the likelihood is that a Republican will win this seat. And they may say, hey, we can choose whoever we want. We don't have to have the voters do it. Would that bother you?
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, it does bother me. It bothers me from the standpoint that, again, I want the voters to choose. Again, we've run a very good campaign, an open and honest campaign, and a clean campaign. And I hope that stands for something. At the same time, whether it's right or wrong, it is the process that's in front of us. And going into this, although it's nothing that you would ever think that is going to happen to you, we have to understand that if that's the process, that's the process, and I have to live with it. And as difficult as it may be, I have to hope that my years in office, what I've done with NYCOM, what I've done in my career as the career years that I've spent doing this, that will be enough for the party chairs to say, you know what, this is the right guy. He's put in the 5 months plus. This is the person we need to move forward with.
We're talking to Rick Milne, the mayor of Honeoye Falls, who was challenging Bill Nojay for his assembly seat in tomorrow's Republican primary in the 133rd district. And of course, Mr. Nojay died by suicide on Friday. Talking to Mr. Milne about what happens if Bill Nojay ends up with more votes, as some leaders in the party are urging voters to do, to still vote for Bill Nojay. And if that happens, then you've got these party chairs who get to get together and decide who they want to be the nominee in November. It's not Rick Milne automatically. If they don't choose you, would that feel undemocratic, Rick?
I mean, that's a great question, Evan. If they don't choose me, again, the time I've put in, I think one would think that I would be the natural choice. But again, it's the process. And there are many processes, many things in life that happen that we don't agree with. Nobody ever said anything was going to be fair, right? I have to work hard. All I can do is put my best foot forward and be the best person I can be. And that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Is it awkward in any way having now to turn to potential supporters or undecided voters, people who might have been voting for Bill Nojay, and say to them, you know, you want their vote, the circumstances are not what you asked for, what you ever expected? Is there anything awkward or difficult about that, Rick?
Oh, sure there is. When everything happened, and we suspended our campaign temporarily, I had to think of what's that next step. And I had to decide to try to cut, you know, a new ad and a new video, and I needed to take a different turn, which we've done. And it really, it puts a whole different spin on things. But I still have to look at this as we must move forward. We must move forward as a party, and we certainly must move forward as a district. And I have to do everything in my power to continue to do and handle things the way I have, but to try to move forward.
All right, listeners, if you've got questions or comments for Rick Milne, who is running in this election tomorrow, you can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Some of you have already emailed me, edawson@wxxi.org. I'll get to those coming up, and you can find me on Twitter, @EvanDawson, and we'll get to your written questions for Rick Milne as well. I want to back up. You announced in May, late May, that you were running for this seat, and voters might want to know about your own career. Where did you grow up?
Well, I've spent most of my time in the village of Honeoye Falls. I was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan, but I moved here when I was in eighth grade, so I spent most of my life here in Honeoye Falls, graduated from HFL in 79. I've been employed by Sun Chemical Corporation for 33 years. We're a organization, a manufacturing organization that works with printers. We manufacture printing inks, coatings, varnishes, et cetera. So I've worked with Sun Chemical from production to technical to sales and marketing management. And it's been a great career. I've been very active in our local fire department. I'm a life member with Honeoye Falls, a past lieutenant and captain for many years. I served with the Honeoye Falls ambulance, and I've done a lot of youth sports coaching with not just my kids, but became president of leagues, et cetera. So I've been very active in the community.
You weren't one of those coaches who's yelling at all the umps and stuff, were you?
No, definitely not the umps. I tried to, well, maybe a few times here and there.
They're working hard. So you consider yourself eighth grade on, essentially a lifer then.
I've been in the Honeoye Falls area, and you know, all my life, and I love the community. I love the whole region. I think Livingston County and Steuben County and Southern Monroe County, which is again where I spend most of my time. I'm a very active hunter. I spend a lot of time in the woods. I'm looking forward to October 1st, and was kind of wondering, geez, how's that going to work out with the campaign going on? Because obviously the campaign has to come first.
Well, you have to make some sacrifices.
Well, I do, and I understand that. And my hunting friends understand that as well. But I do. I spend a lot of time in the woods. I'm an active shooter and with target shooting and hunting and et cetera. And I just enjoy that. I love being in the outdoors, but you know, I'm a family guy. My wife and I, you know, spend a lot of time together just doing things together, and we have our small group of friends that we hang with but spend a lot of time with family.
All right, let me get to the phones here, because there are questions about what you'd like to do in Albany and maybe how you differed from Mr. Nojay. And so let's start with Chris in Rochester first up. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, hello, Evan. Hello, Mr. Milne. And I just want to say, I think it goes without saying that everybody is shocked and saddened by the circumstances of Bill Nojay's death, and
absolutely
that anyone can be driven to a level of desperation to take that course of action. But that being said, first of all, I'm a liberal Democrat, have been since I registered to vote back in the late 60s. But my question to Mr. Milne is, in deciding to run in this primary, appear to be quite a conservative Republican, and I think in terms of the left-right spectrum, Mr. Nojay was about as conservative as you can get, at least in New York State politics. I'd like to know how you feel you differ ideologically from Mr. Nojay.
Chris, thanks very much, and that tees up sort of a whole round here. So before we even get to the maybe issue by issue, which is helpful to let voters know how you feel about certain things, I will preempt a little bit of that, and Chris, I promise we're going to get there, just by asking you, would you have run for this seat if you were fully satisfied with Mr. Nojay's job performance?
Another great question. I don't know if anybody really runs for a position if they're fully satisfied with who's in there. So I would have to say, you know, probably not.
And by the way, Rick and I are going to we're talking about his campaign and what's going on. Everybody acknowledges how difficult it is to sort of talk about this in light of what happened on Friday. No one is trying to speak ill of a recently passed person, but we do have an election tomorrow, and that's why we want to get to know as best we can. So Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel that the engagement or lack thereof, what I saw from the representative is what was really pushing me to move forward. And again, as I've alluded to in the past, I've had others say to me, you know, because I mentioned this 2 terms ago. I mentioned this 4 years ago that I was interested in running for this seat. So there are people that know that, and I've been asked, when are you going to consider moving forward? So I felt that this was the right time for me, and because I feel that there was a lack of representation in our communities on a regular basis.
Does that mean you just didn't see him much?
I didn't see him much, okay. And the people that were asking me to consider running said the same thing. So whether it was residents, whether it was a village trustee or a town council person that I happen to know or that I would run into at a meeting someplace, you know, they would say that, hey, we just don't see him very often, and we need somebody that we feel is working for us. And that's what I personally felt. So that was really the foundation for me running.
Accessibility, visibility, just the work representing all parts of the district.
Right.
So you saw that. Now, ideologically, and I'm going to come back to your phone calls in a second, but Chris asked ideologically. So you mentioned you're a hunter. You mentioned the Second Amendment. I don't know if there was a bigger opponent of the SAFE Act than I met than Bill Nogé.
Right.
Do you consider yourself in that vein?
Well, I certainly consider myself an opponent of the SAFE Act. I will continue to do my best to be an active voice about our Second Amendment rights and protecting those Second Amendment rights. I wasn't in favor of the SAFE Act and the way it was put through. I think today, when you have a law that is firmly entrenched, it's very, you know, there are those who want to repeal the SAFE Act, and I would support that per se. However, I think that's a real challenge when you have an existing law. So I think one of the things that we make mistakes on is we have those who are pushing the repeal, which we need to do, but we also need to come together and look at, are there amendments that we can make? And I can't say what those amendments would be, but there are other ways to try to attack it as well. And I think if we're just looking at things with blinders on and just saying repeal, 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 that doesn't help us try to move that forward.
Okay, so on Second Amendment rights, you know, I remember Bill Nogé saying to me, I'm hearing from state troopers, I'm hearing from sheriffs, who they don't want to enforce it.
That's correct.
They're not going to enforce it. You've heard the same.
I've heard the same. I've talked to patrol officers that I know out in the public, and you know, we've talked about those things, and they have to be careful, obviously, what they say as well. But they don't want, you know, they don't agree with that. They don't think that the SAFE Act has really made things safer overall. Our goal has to be to get illegal guns off the streets and not let people who shouldn't have guns get guns. And that's what we have to continue to strive for.
Okay, so on the SAFE Act, comparing Mr. Milne to Mr. Nogé's record, similar ideologically, it sounds like Rick is a little bit more likely to be in Albany saying repeal is very unlikely. In if you're going to be going after it, if you saw a path for it, you'd support it. But otherwise, it's probably a waste of energy. Let's focus on protecting Second Amendment rights going forward.
Well, I don't want to say that I would be in Albany pushing for repeal. Pushing for amendment. I want to continue to push for repeal.
Okay.
But I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that we also have to look at amendments if it makes sense. And that's where I would get together with those who were against the SAFE Act and people who were against guns, and try to sit down and figure out what does make sense, what should have happened before the SAFE Act came about.
Okay, and then before we go back to the phones, give me your top priority list if you're elected, and then give me your list of where you think you differed most from Mr. Noce.
Ethics reform has to be a big one. As I've gone door to door throughout these 5 months, people have said they're very, very tired of all the ethics issues at the state level and across politics in general. So, and that has been a big thing, and I hate to go there, but that's been number one.
Okay, and by the way, Rick, so tied in with that is a lot of voters think ethics reform means outside income has to be limited. Well, how would that impact you?
Well, so I've been employed by Sun Chemical for 33 years, but I've made it very clear when elected, I am leaving that job. I am doing the assembly position full time, which is a challenge. That's another controversial thing for some people. Some people say, and that's an area that Mr. Noje and I may have been different. Mr. Noje had said before that he could do the job part-time or that it should be a part-time position. And he fought for lowering salaries. I feel that there's enough wrong and enough things that are not going well at the state level and across the state in general that you can't do it part-time. We need people active and engaged. And that's why I keep saying when you come back from Albany, that's when you have to be in all the communities working hard with those people.
So this is clearly a point of difference with Rick Milne and Bill Noje. And again, if you're just joining in and you're saying, well, why does it matter? Mr. Noje took his own life on Friday. There is an election tomorrow. Both of them are still on the ballot. Both these names are still on the ballot. And if Bill Noje gets more votes than Rick Milne tomorrow, Rick Milne is very possibly not going to be the nominee because of the way this process works. They're going to put it in the hands of three county chairs, and they'll get in a room and decide. And it might not be Rick Milne. They may just decide it's somebody who wasn't on the ballot at all. That's very possible. So when it comes to this question of outside income, I am not at all saying that the allegations we've read about with fraud with Bill Noje are true. I don't know. And maybe we'll learn more. Maybe things will remain sealed. I don't know. But he clearly thought that he could do the job more part-time than you're saying and could work on the side and not be, he may have said, not corrupted by it. And again, I don't know what he did or didn't do. Are you concerned, independent of Mr. Noje, set that aside, are you concerned in general if lawmakers go to Albany but they maintain jobs on the side, a lot of them attorneys, but not all, that there is a possibility, not an expectation, but a possibility of corruption related to work outside the assembly?
You know, I don't, and I'll have to say, I don't think that's a fair question from the standpoint. It's a fair question, but
I'm not asking you if you think Bill Noje was corrupt.
No, I certainly understand that. I think people have to make their own decisions on how they handle their work, how they handle the details of their work. Do they have more than one job? I mean, there people today, because they have to get by, work two and three jobs all the time. I just simply have to look at this position. From my own point of view, I believe it's a full-time position. I believe that our representatives should work full-time at it because we have a lot of issues that need to get corrected. And if elected, that's what I would do. Okay. I would have one job and this would be the job.
Okay. And then anywhere else where you clearly viewed yourself as differing from Bill Noje?
I think we would vote the same way with a lot of areas. I believe is one of the caller that it just, you know, mm-hmm. called in said he was a liberal Democrat. You know, I think there are some areas that I may be more, I think I'm fiscally conservative. I think when it comes to views of people and you know, people's actions, I may be considered a little bit more liberal.
On the social side.
On the social side. But you know, I was asked the other day, you know, like about the consolidation process that the governor and the executive branch continue to push. I'm not in favor of consolidations. And I think I should say, I know the Conservative Party pushes consolidations or consolidation of services, et cetera. I still believe in that. I mean, I believe there are municipalities, and I've said this as Conference of Mayors president, as mayor in Honeyway Falls, we're not doing our job if we are not looking at ways to consolidate services and save our taxpayers' money. We've talked about that on your show years ago or a couple years ago. But what bothers me is that it shouldn't be just villages that should be able to go away. And I think that's one of the reasons we need a constitutional convention. We need to look at our government, the way government is run overall. And I'm sure there are, if villages should go away, or if there are villages that should go away, maybe there are towns that should go away, or, you know, other ways to look at the consolidation, because a lot of villages are certainly run very, very well. I think the bulk of them are. And I just don't agree with the premise of saying you got to consolidate services and villages have to go away. I just don't believe in that.
Okay. So Rick's been the mayor of Honeyway Falls for 12 years.
12 years, yes.
And to Chris's question, so there's where he may differ from Mr. Noje. Your one priority, apart from being more accessible, more representative of the entire district, what's a number one priority taken to Albany for you?
Again, as I said, ethics reform has got to be number one. You know, I think that, again, as I've looked or I've met people, people are really, really tired of the finger pointing, of hearing that it's all the Republicans' fault, it's all the Democrats' fault. They want people in office that will work together to find solutions. If you're on the far right and I'm on the far left or vice versa, we have to find a way to get to the middle, yet still holding our core values. You know, we're not asking people to totally go away from their core values, but we do have to find out, we do have to come up with answers to problems, and finger pointing just doesn't work anymore.
You sound like a pragmatist, someone who thinks that you don't have to abandon your core values to get a compromise done.
I do believe that.
Okay, let's get our only break of the hour. Wiley, we'll come back to you. We've got other questions that have come in. Here's a listener on Twitter who says, a tough weekend for this election. Rick Milne showed class and sensitivity by trying to pull radio ads and temporarily suspending his campaign. He showed integrity. And she says, also, he's been and is currently the president of the New York NYCOM, which is the
New York State Conference of Mayors. Now, I am not currently the president. I was president up until the beginning of May. So I was president last year, and that was the other reason I didn't get into this campaign earlier, is because I had my full-time job, my mayor's position, and I was president of the Conference of Mayors. I couldn't fit a campaign in at that time. So I thought the timing was the right timing.
All right, let's get our only break of the hour, and we'll come back to more of your emails and questions on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, Tuesday on The Next Connections. In the wake of the suicide of Assemblyman Bill Noje, we will talk about suicide prevention. And then we'll hear from Democrat and Chronicle reporters who broke the story on Friday of the fraud charges that Mr. Noje was facing. How did they get the information? The paper's standards and sourcing rules came into play, and we'll talk about how that story came together on Tuesday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. There is a primary tomorrow for the 133rd Assembly District, and Mayor Rick Milne of Honeyway Falls wants to be the Republican candidate, and he has to get the most votes tomorrow to make sure that happens in November. Let's go down to Honeyway Falls. This is Wiley. Go ahead, Wiley.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good.
Rick, we've met before, and first of all, I want to thank you for that nice fan that I bought from you at your yard sale there.
You small town people, you know everybody.
Tell you what, that fan was probably 40 years old, and I gave a good disclaimer before he bought that, saying, "Hey,
I know you did. I remember that very well, and I always thought very well of you, and I have thought well of you. Because one of the things I always rail against is people know every backstory on Dancing with the Chefs, but they don't know their local mayor,
right?
Or even know where he lives. And so I know we know each other. What I want to know is how." Without giving me a politician's answer, with not even one word of a politician's answer, why should I or anyone else support any Republican, not just you, who would have the man who's been nominated to be the president and leader of the, quote, free world, unquote. Why would you even tolerate someone with such a hateful, bigoted attitude and all the other adjectives that he's been called? Why should I vote for anyone, including you and Supervisor Moffitt? Why should we vote for you at all if you'll tolerate that kind of behavior from somebody that's supposed to be the president? And you see, he's just totally unqualified and incompetent for that position.
All right, Wiley.
In 30 seconds or more.
No, he's got plenty of time. But Wiley, thanks for the phone call. Are you supporting Donald Trump?
That has been a question that's been asked of me quite a few times.
Senator Milne.
No, I've been asked that question a lot of times, and I struggle with it because I look at it as, is this from both the Democrats and the Republicans? Is this the best we can come up with? And I struggle with that. I think there are some real strong issues against the Democratic choice as well. So I still am struggling with who do I support.
As you sit here, you don't know who you're going to vote for in November?
I'm definitely not voting for the Democratic choice.
Okay.
I'm a Republican. So obviously at this point in time, and I've said this before, I'm leaning towards the Republican choice. I don't want to lose my vote, but I am also looking at the other candidates as well. I have to believe that any candidate who wins the presidential election is going to have good people around them. And I have to believe that those people are going to be strong enough to help that person move forward. Now, to answer Wiley's question, though, I have not been, as I've said, whether I'm a Republican or any other party, I have not been entrenched, and he knows this, in politics per se, and what we hear about politics. I think the reason you have to vote for me, Wiley, or why you would vote for Supervisor Moffitt, is because we work hard for our community. We have our community at heart, and that is the way we carry ourselves all the time. And I am going to have the district at heart, and that is how I am going to carry myself. So I can't answer your question about the presidential people from any party. I can only carry on and do what I can do. I only control myself. And you know how hard I've worked in Honeoye Falls, and I'll continue to do so at the state level.
I'll only press one more question on this, then you'll be happy to know we'll move on from Mr. Trump. But I will ask this in follow-up. We said during the brief break that I had a couple of messages that have come in online, email, just thanking you for your tone. I think in the light of the loss of Bill Nojay, but also this campaign, I went back through your social media. I can't find any personal attacks. I can't find any ugly mailers.
Nope.
You know, other assembly campaigns have been
absolutely
sort of much more of the typical negative party politics. I haven't seen that from you at all in this campaign. And whenever I have to text or call you, you get right back to me yourself. There's no handlers. You're one of the nicer people I know in politics. You are just about as far away from the tone of Donald Trump as I can possibly understand. And Wiley May, who may know you better than most of our listeners, may say, that's who Rick Milne is. So how could you support Donald Trump?
I understand that because I think there are, as I've already said, I think there's a lot of things that the Democratic choice carries as well that I'm very much against and that I struggle with. Again, I can only worry about myself right now, and that's where I've been over the last 5 months. I have to worry about what I'm doing, and our tone has been very positive, and we're going to keep it that way.
I think it's fair to say that Bill Nojay was one of the biggest Trump supporters. He was urging him to run for governor and then president. Rick Milne, if as becomes a Trump supporter, would you qualify yourself a reluctant one?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Very, very different on that score then. When it comes to the landscape in Albany, when it comes to taxes, what we spend on education, those kinds of issues, we haven't really gotten into that much yet here.
Right.
How do you see yourself as a legislator approaching issues of tax and spend, of education funding, those kinds of things?
Well, you know, from a tax and spend issue, you know, we need to stop spending money on things that are wasteful. I've been in an odd, and I'm still in a very odd position because I'm still serving as mayor. So we have the Regional Economic Development Council and that whole program that the governor has brought forth. And I have openly said that I don't support that program per se. But then as mayor, I have to try to go out and get some of that money. I feel two-faced sometimes because, you know, it's my job to try to bring funding in for my municipality. And yet I don't agree with the program itself overall.
We're talking about the $500 million,
yes,
the pot?
Yes.
So you wouldn't have liked to see that setup. You didn't like the setup with that to begin with.
I don't really like that setup because I don't think we're supporting, and again, this gets back to the fundamental reasons that I'm running. I don't think we're supporting our local municipalities. The number is somewhere around $757 million or $747 million that municipalities across the state of New York have been given for the AIM funding in the CHIPS funding. It has not gone up in real dollars since 2008, 2009. That's where we need the most funding to help support businesses, et cetera. We need good roads. We need safe bridges. Supervisor Elise, I'm sorry. Pardon me?
Who's your supervisor?
No, I'm not talking about locally.
Oh.
Mark Cassini, I apologize. Gate Supervisor Cassini has been very vocal on the need to repair bridges, and he's absolutely right. We need more funding, real funding, to go to our roads, our bridges, our sidewalks, and our sewer systems that are crumbling. I certainly support trying to bring more businesses to our region. They just had a great... Alstom down in Hornell just received a new contract with the rail system, and that's very important to the region. I mean, I appreciate that, and we need those types of deals. But at the same time, we need to make sure that those businesses we're supporting or helping to support and helping make sure they come to New York State are doing what they say they're going to do, are creating the jobs that they say they're going to do. And we know that's not always happening. We have to take care of our local municipalities to make sure that they're healthy so that our cities are healthy. We're all intertwined, and we're not doing that.
Okay, but if you get elected, that money is essentially already earmarked. Are you going to push back against it, or what are you going to do?
Well, the money's already earmarked, but again, we have to continue to work to look at better programs that really...
So you can spend the money, but you can do it better.
Yes. I mean, we have to... The money's already earmarked. It's not going to be given or used in a different way, but we have to look at process and progress for the future.
Okay. David writes the program and wants to know if the Republican Party chairs told you not to run. In other words, David wants to know, were they upset with you that you decided to primary a sitting assemblyman?
No. I will say that I have not had any negative tones from any of the party chairs from the get-go. They did not ask me to run. They did not ask me not to run. They knew, certainly Chairman Rylick knew what my history was. He and I had talked, as I said, 4 years ago, and we've kept in contact. But they have not directed me one way or the other.
Okay. How would you evaluate the job Andrew Cuomo has done as governor?
I'm not a Andrew Cuomo fan. I think there are some good programs and there are some good projects that go forward. There always are. Everybody has good things that they do, but he has continued, in my opinion and the opinion of others, to do what he wants, how he wants, when he wants, and doesn't listen to anyone else. And I think that's a problem. And that's where we have to continue to have very strong voices to fight that. And that's also where we have to have very strong voices to make sure that upstate New York and western New York is given a fair shake and given everything they need as well. It can't all be focused on downstate New York.
Steven on Twitter wants to know, what do you consider to be wasteful government spending that you would seek to eliminate?
Oh, I would have to look at a lot of the different programs. But again, we continue to go back to funding of businesses. Again, I understand that we have to make sure that we bring new businesses to the state. but without guarantees of jobs and not holding those people or those businesses to creating those jobs, that's wasteful spending that we just can't tolerate. I need to look into some other specifics, but I think that would be just one example.
I've talked to Brian Culp. I'm sure you know Brian Culp.
Yes.
Pretty well.
Yep.
The minority leader in the assembly, who often fights a losing battle, and that he doesn't have the votes often to carry whatever legislation or agenda he wants, but tries to be a kind of guy who may not always agree with his colleagues across the aisle, but try to work with them. I'm sure it is frustrating for him. He's the minority leader. You would just be one member of an assembly. Right now you are a mayor.
Right.
You know, you have all this power.
Yeah, a lot of power,
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, you'd be going from an executive position leading a local government to one of many in a minority party with probably very little sway to get big, broad, sweeping things done. And I wonder, you know, your mindset about why you want to do that.
Because it's like any area that there's issues, we have to keep trying. We can't just say, well, I'm not going to make any progress, so I'm just going to walk away. I believe firmly that we need to continue to bring in strong voices, but more importantly, we need to have people who will truly be able to work across the aisles and with everybody there, because that's what we have to do. We have to try to sway those votes. We have to try to sway that support for some of the programs we want to move forward as well. I think Brian Culp has done a great job over the years trying to do that. And I can understand where he may have some frustration. And I know that other Republicans have been very frustrated as well. But we can't give up. We have to try. And even when we, you know, I've had so many people say to me, again, going back to the ethics things, you know, why would you want to go there? And my answer continues to be, because if we don't try, we don't make a difference. It may not happen in my first, you know, first year or first 2 years, but if I can be a voice of reason, if I can be a person that helps sway some of those people over our way a little bit, then I think I've done my job.
Corinne wants to know, she said, most of the time when you hear consolidation brought up, Republicans are for it. Why is Mr. Milne against consolidation?
Well, I think what you said it was Corinne?
Corinne.
What Corinne has to bear in mind is that I'm speaking, when I say that, from the point of an active mayor. I'm not saying I'm against consolidations at all. What I'm saying is I'm against consolidations that don't make sense. When we are able to have a very, very small portion of registered voters start a petition, and then the process of consolidation is you vote for the consolidation, and then you come up with the program and the way that the consolidation will happen, it's totally backwards. If there is a group that wants a municipality to be consolidated or to go away, then what they should do is the process should be is that they create the petition to force the study to be done, to force the municipality, whatever municipality that is, to look at that process, come up with a plan of how the consolidation would work, and would it truly save money, and would it truly be a streamlined process or a streamlined municipality. There are some consolidations that have certainly been looked at and voted down because it wouldn't do what the people thought it would. There are certainly municipalities that should be consolidated, and I'm not against that process. I'm not against that happening. I'm against the process in which it happens. And the governor tries to force consolidations on municipalities that are in very good position and in very good stead.
All right, got about 2 minutes left. Real briefly here, you're someone who, again, if you're just joining us, Rick is not only the mayor of Honeoye Falls, but you have been working for the same company for 33 years?
Correct.
The name of the company?
Sun Chemical.
How many local employees for that company?
Actually, we closed our branch quite a few years ago, so there's only four local employees. But we are the largest printing ink manufacturer in the world. We are worldwide.
You just don't do a lot of that here.
We just don't. We sell a lot here, but we don't have a factory here. I'm actually based out of Philadelphia, although I'm very rarely in Philadelphia. I work out of my house.
Gotcha. Okay. So I think, you know, if people heard that the company was here, the question would be, how can you keep them here? But that's not a company that's doing much here other than you're doing some work for them here.
Correct.
Is your work going to be designed in Albany to make sure, whether it's Sun or anybody else, they'd feel more comfortable being here?
We certainly want to do whatever we can do to lower the tax base, lower the tax rate for all of our municipalities. We all have to strive to lower taxes. But I don't think giving money away to bring businesses here is as effective as making it easy to do business here. And that's, as I've talked to local small businesses around the district, that's what they struggle with, the unfunded mandates and the difficulty in doing business.
All right, 20 seconds. Final thoughts about not only the loss of your opponent, but your thoughts going into the election tomorrow, Rick.
Well, I continue to be very saddened by the loss of Mr. Nojay. But I have to move forward and work towards being the representative for the 133rd Assembly District. And I need people to come out and vote for our campaign so that we can do that.
If you missed it earlier, Rick Milne will be the Republican nominee in November if he gets the most votes tomorrow. But if Mr. Nojay posthumously gets the most votes, which some party leaders are still calling for voters to do, to vote for Mr. Nojay, if that happens, then they will have the power to choose their own representative in a closed-door meeting. And I think what Mr. Milne is saying is let the voters decide. We will see tomorrow. Either way, thank you for
thank
being
you.
Here. And I know whatever the capacity is, we'll talk to you again in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Rick Milne is the mayor of Honey Eye Falls and is running in tomorrow's Republican primary in the 133rd. Our thanks to Rob Braden, the engineer, and Megan Mack, the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you on primary day.